The Veterans Affairs Department rolls out a pilot program next month for a new patient scheduling system. Laverne Council, VA's chief information officer, says if the program works, they'll deploy it nationally. Council says feedback has been positive so far, but members of a congressional oversight committee have their doubts. They cite the VA's own track record of deploying new systems. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. Meredith, tell us, what are they rolling out?
So the VA is currently using a scheduling system that dates back to the 1960s. The Vietnam War was going on, and a lot of the veterans from that war are the patients looking to make these appointments in scheduling doctor care. So this program has two sides to it. On the one side, there's an app for patients to schedule an appointment on their phone. And the other side is what the schedulers see to schedule that appointment. So the VA CIO, Laverne Council, said the schedulers are having a hard time because this is such an outdated program. It's hard for them to see the windows and make an appointment for these veterans.
You see that it's an old dot matrix screen that also doesn't allow people to really know what they're leading to. The VAR and the VSC addresses this. So far, 95% of the users like the new product. And the idea was that if these could not deliver, that we would have through MASS, which was an IDIQ contract, an ability to move forward. MASS has been put on hold until the deputy secretary looks at these new products, and right now, if these new products roll out fine, we will stay with those new products.
The VAR and VSC that Laverne Council mentioned are the two sides of the program. MASS is the current scheduling program, and there were plans for an update to that system. But as you heard, that's been sidelined while this pilot program gets rolled out to see if it's successful. So Council was on the Hill to give an overview of how VA is doing when it comes to its IT and cybersecurity in general. But this program ended up being the focus of the questioning.
So what did the committee members think about this pilot program, Meredith?
Committee members had a lot more questions than opinions on the program. Along with counsel, there were two VA Office of Inspector General auditors who were testifying on how VA is doing. One auditor was Brett Arante, and another was Michael Bowman. And Arante was one of the invited witnesses, and he brought along Bowman because he handles the VA's IT and Security Audits Division. VA has struggled for a while with keeping up with the times and modernizing its systems, and both men said as much when they were asked whether or not they thought this program was going to work. And here's Bowman giving his opinion on whether or not this is going to be helpful to VA in the future.
Anytime VA is involved with software development, it seems to be a high-risk venture. VA tends to go over budget on costs. They seem to not deliver the intended functionality. So I think oversight of this project is essential, especially as it impacts veteran scheduling. VA just does not have a good history of delivering systems on time and within budget.
That was Bowman, and his testimony backs up what his colleague said earlier, which was really just a list of problems that have plagued the agency as it's tried to keep up with pressure from Congress and ultimately taxpayers to better deliver services to veterans. And here's Brad Arante.
VA continues to face challenges in developing IT systems it needs to support its current goals and overall mission. For 16 consecutive years, information security has been reported as a material weakness in VA's consolidated financial statement audit. Our audits have shown that IT system development and management at VA is a long-standing high-risk challenge. Despite some advances, our reports indicate VA IT programs are still often susceptible to cost overruns, schedule slippages, and performance problems.
That's only a portion of the 17 pages of testimony that Arante submitted for the record. He says VA still is having a number of issues, like password standards being enforced across the system. There's backup tapes being sent for offsite storage that aren't being encrypted. And he said VA's system security plans are outdated. And in some cases, they're not even getting out to the people they should be applying to. He said in one case, there was a contractor who was allowed access to VA's networks while he was overseas in China using his own computer. And he left the computer there. So apparently no one...
Oy.
Yeah. So apparently no one was following the VA information security policy and contract security requirements. Here's Arante again talking about that.
Our work has demonstrated that VA continues to struggle with its IT investments. Some improvements in information security have become evident with the inception of CRISP. However, more work remains to be done, and VA needs to remain focused on addressing OIG recommendations in the security and development of IT systems. Until a proven process is in place to ensure controls across the enterprise, the IT material weakness may stand, and VA's mission-critical systems and sensitive veterans' data may remain at risk of attack or compromise.
That CRIS program is meant to help bridge the gap between IT policy and execution. So there are so many other things VA is juggling right now to improve. And so his point is they're not sure on whether or not this pilot is actually going to be successful.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And what else do the committee members want to know?
Will Hurd, the subcommittee chairman, had a couple questions for counsel and the auditors. One of the questions had to do with why is VA going in-house when it's had so many problems, as opposed to reaching out to the private sector for scheduling software that might already be in existence. So here's what counsel had to say when he asked about choosing not to go off the shelf.
MASS is Epic software. And so the real question is, if we couldn't do it, we were going to do one or the other. And I think what we found is that if we just needed pure scheduling and we needed a mobile capability, we were able to create that and it integrate into Vista very simply. But the team had to try it, make it work, and I think they had an error and a spare.
Representative Blake Farenthold also brought up the same point. This is his portion of his discussion with counsel.
Are we also looking in the VA at moving away from an extraordinary number of custom systems? I mean, there's a lot of off-the-shelf stuff that you ought to be able to adopt. Is that not a reasonable question?
It is a very reasonable question, sir. And there are five new functions we're adding as part of the strategy. One of those new functions is strategic sourcing, which is all about putting us in a situation where we buy versus build. So that we look for off-the-shelf software that can meet our needs first. We validate that there's not something that's already built that can meet our needs, and then we make those calls based on what's best fits the process.
Farenthold followed up wondering if there was anything Congress could do to help agencies like the VA reach out with the private sector, and counsel pointed out that there are a lot of barriers.
It takes a while to get into the federal government, and the requirements are not those that those same resources and highly valued resources would face in a private industry. We need those resources, and even as we get access and views and opportunities to meet those people and talk to them, we take a long time to get them in the door.
And that is CIO Laverne Council of VA. Meredith, what comes next?
Chairman Hurd said he's got to see progress soon and veterans getting their appointments scheduled for everybody to be happy. VA and Congress butt heads pretty often, but Hurd seemed pretty confident that council is doing a good job building bridges. So we'll see what happens in April.
Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, thanks for that report.
Thanks, Tom.
And you can read her story and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.